chapter. The Gospel of Luke chapter 2. We know almost nothing about the early years of Jesus' life. Most of what is written about Jesus, 99% probably, encapsulates less than 3 years of his life, and yet Jesus lived into his 30s, perhaps into his mid-30s. And we know very little about his early life, and yet there are some very important things that happen. And as we have been talking about the wonder of who Jesus is in these last weeks, talking about the wonder of his birth, the wonder of his pre-existence, today we begin to talk about the wonder of his life, and we begin with those early years. We get a glimpse of that, and only a glimpse, in Luke chapter 2, beginning at verse 41. Every year, his parents went to Jerusalem for the feast of Passover. When he was 12 years old, they went up to the feast according to the custom. After the feast was over, while his parents were returning home, the boy, Jesus, stayed behind in Jerusalem, but they were unaware of it. Thinking he was with their company, they traveled on for a day. Then they began looking for him among their relatives and friends, and when they did not find him, they went back to Jerusalem to look for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple court, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions, and everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. His mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you." "Why were you searching for me?" he asked. "Didn't you know I had to be in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he was saying to them. Then he went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. But his mother treasured all these things in her heart. And Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Today I want to talk about those early years. And I want to pick up especially on, notice this phrase that the Word of God gives us, that Jesus grew in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. Most of us have a problem with growing. We don't want to grow. We don't want to do what it takes to grow. We want to start out right now. Often people will say to me things like, "Well, what good is it now?" Or, "God isn't using me now." I want you to think about the fact that Jesus was silent for 30 years. Can you imagine God in human form? The entirety of all of eternity resting on his ministry. And he wasted 30 years. Think how many people could have been healed in 30 years. Yet he did not heal one single person for 30 years. Think how many lessons could have been taught. But he did not teach any lessons for 30 years. Think what could have been done to help the people. But he did not do any of his ministry until over 30 years had passed. Let me ask you, We live today in a very dry time. It's amazing. People that I argued with 5 and 6 and 8 years ago about that this was a backslidden time and that God was withdrawing His presence and that we needed to be faithful and cry out to Him. And many people argued with me years past about that, have come back and said, you know, there's something wrong. These are dry times. We're not seeing God move like He should. Do you realize Jesus lived in backslidden times for 30 years, but He prepared Himself for ministry? Let me ask you, are you preparing yourself for ministry? Are you growing in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man? Let me talk about 5 things that Jesus learned in those 30 years. And I want to ask you, how many of you have been 30 years in training for God to use you? How many of you have been training for 30 years for God to use you? Think about that Jesus, though He was God, trained for 30 years. And often we think, if we don't get it right now, then we somehow don't have to be obedient and obey God. Let me talk about 5 things that Jesus grew in. First of all, He grew in patience. Look with me at John chapter 2, verse 11. And it never really struck me till I was preparing for this message, the import of what this means. You know, sometimes you read over something and you just breeze through it and you go, okay. But look with me at John 2:11. Now, John 2 begins with the scene at Cana, which was a town quite near to Nazareth. They were like sister cities. They were very close together. Begins with a wedding there. Some of Jesus' relatives are getting married. Mary is involved in helping to prepare for this great celebration. Jesus is there. They run out of wine and Mary calls on Jesus. Now, at the end of this, notice what it says, John 2:11. This, the first. For 30 years, Jesus didn't do a miracle. How much must have He been tempted? You ever been picked on when you were a kid? Didn't you wish that you were, I don't know, who was the hero of the day, Captain America or Spider-Man or Superman or Batman, and you could, this is just my secret identity if they really knew who I was. The Incredible Hulk, just bulk out, boom! You want to see Mean Green Smashing Machine, just keep in my face. Jesus had all the power to do that. And He never did it once. When the kids taunted Him, He could have said, do you understand who I am? I'm God in the flesh. And when they laughed at Him, go, laugh at this. But He never did. Not one time. He watched His father Joseph, and we know that at some point in Jesus' early life, Joseph died. By the time Jesus is an adult, Joseph is no longer on the scene, and he is responsible to care as the oldest son for his mother. At the cross, He turns to John and says, John, you're now responsible. How many people did Jesus heal in his ministry? How many thousands? But when Joseph became sick, he watched him grow sicker and sicker and die, and he never did one miracle. Let me ask you, do you have patience to follow God's plan? Do you have patience to follow God's plan? Look what John chapter 7 says. John chapter 7. Jesus was arguing with his with his brothers and sisters, and they're telling him, "Oh, Jesus, if you think you're somebody great, you go and do these things." And notice what Jesus says. Look at John 7, 6. John 7, 6. "Therefore, Jesus told him," look at verse 5, it says, "even his own brothers did not believe in him." He grew up with their constant unbelief for 30 years. You ever fight with your brothers or sisters? You ever get angry with them? You ever want to show them who's right? You think Jesus could have showed them who was right and who's wrong? But he did nothing to force them to believe in him. And here's what Jesus said. "Therefore, Jesus told them, 'The right time for me has not yet come. For you, any time is right.'" Jesus learned to walk on God's timetable. Do you walk on God's timetable? Do you walk on God's timetable or on your own timetable? I want to do this. I want to do that. I want to do these other things. Jesus walked on God's timetable. That's why Galatians 4:4 says this, "At the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son." Another translation translates it this way, "At just the right time." Let me ask you, have you learned to trust God's timing? Jesus, for 30 years, learned to trust God's timing. Have you learned to trust and obey God today? Even if you see no results, trusting God's timing to do what God's going to do? Jesus did. He learned that for 30 years. Second of all, and this must never be underplayed, Jesus spent 30 years forming godly habits. Look with me at Luke chapter 2. Look with me at the text we read today, Luke chapter 2. Look at verse 41. What does it say? "Whenever it was convenient, his parents went to Jerusalem for the feast of the Passover." Is that what the Word of God says? Whenever they weren't busy, they went to the feast of the Passover. If it wasn't too much trouble, they went to the feast of the Passover. Is that what it says? Every single year, Jesus went to the feasts. Look with me at Luke chapter 4, verse 16. Luke 4:16, as Jesus begins his ministry, this isn't the end of his ministry. This is the very beginning. This is the day that Jesus will inaugurate his ministry. He has spent 40 days out in the wilderness communing with God. He spent 40 days in prayer out in the wilderness to begin his ministry. And it says, chapter 4, verse 1, Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan, was led by the Spirit in the desert, where for 40 days he was tempted. Verse 14, Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and the news spread through the whole countryside. He taught in their synagogues, and everyone praised him. Verse 16, he went up to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day, he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. If you wanted to find Jesus on any given Sabbath, on any Sabbath whatsoever, where would you look for Jesus? In the synagogue. More than 30. About 30. For 30 years, Jesus, every Sabbath, was at the synagogue. A man said to Evan Roberts when he was a young man, never miss the prayer meeting. Never miss the prayer meeting. Remember Thomas. When Jesus appeared, Thomas wasn't present. Thomas could never make up the fact that he wasn't there that first day. Never missed the prayer meeting. Do you know that for the next almost 10 years, even Roberts, by his diary, says, I never missed a single prayer meeting from that day forward. Every Monday, every Tuesday, every Wednesday, every Thursday, every Friday, every Saturday, and every Lord's Day. Jesus was in the habit. If you were to count up how many Sabbaths you've missed, how many would they be? Well, this came up. That came up. Well, you know, this needed to be done. That needed to be done. I grew up surrounded by that. When I was working on the farm for years, there was always the question, do we make hay on Sunday? Pennsylvania, it rains a lot during the summer. It's hard to find a stretch of days when there's no rain. And you cannot cut hay down when it rains at all because any rain on the hay just destroys the value of the hay. And all, when you get a good Sunday, when it's nice and sunny, oh, the temptation is, you know, well, we can always worship God some other time. What's it matter if we miss one day? Jesus was in the habit. He went into the synagogue as was his custom. How about you? Is that your custom? If someone wants to look up for you on the Lord's Day, do they know where to find you? You'll be in God's house. Jesus, second of all, spent that time growing in godly habits. Third of all, he learned the Word of God. Look with me again at our text, Luke chapter 2. Look at verses 46 and 47. Luke 2, 46 and 47. Luke 2, 46 and 47. After 3 days, they found him in the temple courts sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. Everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. Now, someone says, of course, he had all those answers. He was God. It was easy for him. He knew everything. No. He learned the Word of God the same way that you and I did. He laid aside, Philippians 2 says, his divine prerogatives. He didn't depend on his godly knowledge. In fact, He says, I do what myself? Nothing. Only what the Father does, I do. Jesus Christ had the same lifestyle of dependence upon the Father that you and I need to have. But he applied himself to learning God's Word. The King James translates 2 Timothy 2:15 this way, study to show yourself approved. The NASB says this, strive diligently to present yourself as one approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, correctly handling the Word of truth. Let me ask you, do you give yourself to systematic study? We just finished the book of Acts. Somebody counted back and it's been like 6 years that we've been in the book of Acts. Somebody says, oh, it was so slow. Do you think Jesus would have said, oh, that's too slow? Or do you think Jesus spent that kind of time in the Word of God, going deep into it, trying to learn what God really said? Is it any wonder that Matthew 4:4, as Jesus begins his ministry, he goes out into the wilderness and is confronted with Satan, and the first thing he says is, it is written. Let me ask you, how much of the Scripture have you memorized? Often we say, I want God to use me, I want God to use me, but we don't memorize the Scripture. We don't study systematically. There's a big difference between reading a thought for the day and systematically studying the Word of God. Committing it to systematic study. Someone says, oh, that was easy for you, Pastor. You went to seminary. Let me assure you, I did not learn my Bible in seminary. I learned my Bible studying with a man of God who was over me in authority in the church where I was growing up. I pumped him for information. I begged him for books to read. Let me ask you, do you think that Jesus did that? Of course he did. Oh, that's because Jesus had all the time in the world. No. Jesus, from the time he was smaller than most of the kids here, maybe Adam's age, maybe even younger, was already at work learning a trade. And the Bible says that Jesus did what? As a profession? We often translate it carpenter. But the word is actually not carpenter in the Greek. It's builder. Now, if you've ever been to Israel, they don't build houses the way we build houses. How do we build houses? Well, we take these little tiny 2x4s, this little thin thing of wood and this little thin thing of plaster, maybe put some insulation. And it lasts. And we go, oh, that's an old house. It's 150 years old. You go to Israel, you ask, ooh, what about that building? And the guide says, oh, that's nothing, nothing. That's only 1,600 years old. Insignificant, doesn't mean nothing. Jesus was a builder. In Israel, they build out of stone. From the time that Jesus was a young man, only a few years old, he was starting to heave rocks. He knew what it was like to come to the end of the day and be bone tired because he'd been on his feet all day. You picture Jesus as a kind of little Woody Allen kind of guy? Most of the Jesuses they picture are, Jesus looked a lot more like Arnold Schwarzenegger than Woody Allen. You've never seen somebody that lifts rock all day long. Heaves big rocks over their heads to build walls. But Jesus still found time to study the Word of God, to commit it to memory, to fill his heart with it, to understand it. That's why it says they were amazed at 12 years of old. Of age, they were amazed at his understanding and his answers. Jesus committed 30 years to mastering the Word of God. Number four, he learned to be under authority. It's amazing how much we chafe at being under authority. We chafe at being under authority at work. We chafe at being under authority in the home. We chafe at being under authority in school. We chafe at being under authority with the government. We chafe at being under authority in the church. I'll decide. I'm in charge. I'll make the rules. I'll decide what I'm going to do. Nobody's going to tell me. I'll make that decision. But I want you to notice something about Jesus. Here is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Here is the prophesied Messiah. Here is God in human flesh. And look at Luke 2:51. Look at Luke 2:51. He went down to Nazareth with them, his parents, and he was obedient to them. He obeyed his parents. Is it any wonder? Look with me at Matthew 8:9. This Roman centurion, he is the master race. Jesus is the slave race. He is a soldier. Jesus is a civilian. He is the conqueror. Jesus is the conquered. He is the one who can compel. Jesus is the one who must obey. But when this centurion comes to Jesus, Matthew 8:9, he says, "For I myself am a man under authority with soldiers under me. I tell this one, go, and he goes. And I tell this one, come, and he comes. And I say to my servant, do this, and he does it. Therefore, you just speak the word, Jesus." You see, that centurion recognized Jesus as a person who was under authority. Hebrews says he learned obedience. Again, Hebrews says he became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Let me ask you, have you learned to obey those who are in authority over you? One of the best things, just as a personal testimony about going out into the work world and working, one of the best things has been being under authority. I love being in a situation where I've got somebody over me that just says, do this, and I go. Don't have to say, now, am I going to do, what am I going to do next? What do you want me to do? Let me ask you, are you being trained as Jesus was trained to be obedient, to obey those who are in authority over you? Or are you a lone wolf, a lone ranger? I'm out there on my own. I don't have anyone over me. I'm so spiritually high and mighty that I don't need anyone to tell me. Now, if there was anyone in the universe that had a claim to that, it would have been Jesus. But he didn't. He learned obedience. He learned to be under authority. And he spent 30 years. You know, a lot of times, I've seen a lot of people get saved, and if God doesn't use them in the first 6 months, you know, it's like, oh, forget it. 30 years. You know why he did that? Because, see, he knew the spiritual principle. Here it is. Look with me. Over in the Gospel of Luke. Here's the spiritual principle. Luke chapter 16, verse 10. Luke 16, 10. Luke 16:10, whoever can be trusted with very little. Can you be trusted with very little? That's why he was every Sabbath at the synagogue. That's why it was his habit. If you wanted to find Jesus on the Sabbath, just look in the synagogue, because the first step of obedience is just showing up and being present. I remember listening to the testimony of Greg Laurie, and Greg Laurie talked about after I got saved, whenever I wasn't working, whenever I was free, I'd go and I'd just sit at the church. Now, he was part of a big church, a Calvary Chapel out there. They had a lot of staff. He said, I'd just sit there in the office and wait to be told something to do. He said, most of the time they didn't have anything for me to do, so I just sat there reading my Bible. Waiting for somebody to say, here's something to do. Can you be trusted with very little? You see, most of us say, well, if it's a big job, then I'll take it seriously. But if it's a little job, well, that doesn't really matter. But Jesus spent 30 years being faithful in the little things. Therefore, God is going to make him the Lord of all the universe for all eternity. You think that it matters what you and I do with little things, being faithful to obey God in little things? Look with me at Luke 4:32. Look with me at Luke 4:32. Jesus spent 30 years learning to be under authority. Luke 4:32. We can start at verse 31. Luke 4:31. Then he, Jesus, went down to Capernaum, a town in Galilee, and on the Sabbath, where was he on the Sabbath? In the synagogue. Why was he in the synagogue on the Sabbath? It was his habit. He began to teach the people, and they were amazed at his teaching because his message had... Why did his message have authority? Because he'd learned to be under authority. A person who has never learned to be under authority will never have authority. If we don't have authority with people, it's because we haven't learned to be under authority. I remember when I was a young Christian, I got too big for my britches. I can remember Charles Stewart calling me in one day, and I walked in and I went to sit down. And he said, I didn't tell you to sit down. I said, what's up? And he said, who do you think you are? And for the next hour, he reamed me out every possible way that a person could ream someone out. Nicest thing anyone ever did to me. Who do you have in your life that trusts you enough that they're willing to be honest with you about what you need because they know you're a person under authority? You see, we'll never have authority if we're not under authority. Jesus spent 30 years learning to be under authority. Last of all, Jesus spent 30 years learning to pray. The Gospel of Luke records the prayer life of Jesus, and the prayer life of Jesus was unbelievable. So much so that his disciples came to him without him initiating. It's the only time they came to him and asked him something. And what did they ask him? Teach us to pray. He spent 30 years learning to pray. Let me ask you, are you learning to pray? At the beginning of his ministry, look with me at Matthew 4:2. Look with me at Matthew 4:2. Matthew 4:2. This is the beginning of his ministry. This isn't the end of his ministry. Matthew 4:2. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights. Now let me ask you something. Look up for just a second. Who here finds it easy to pray for 40 minutes without stopping? Easy to pray for 40 minutes without stopping. How about 4 hours without stopping? One of the big problems that people talk to me about is, oh, you know, when we have extended prayers, you know, it just, my mind starts to wander. And Jesus didn't pray for 40 minutes or for 4 hours or for 40 hours. He prayed continuously for 40 days. That's 960 hours of prayer. Now, do you think you'd do that on your first day out praying? I don't think so. The only possible way that Jesus could pray for 960 hours is for 30 years he had been practicing prayer. Let me ask you, are you learning to pray? There is a dearth of prayer in the church today. And the most important thing, let me just take a second as a thing, just so you know where we're going with the new year coming. We're going to spend a bunch of time, we're going to look at Jesus for quite a while, for a bunch of weeks here going forward. We're going to look at his life, we're going to look at his death, we're going to look at what happened after his death. We're going to look at his resurrection. We're going to look at his ministry today. We're going to look at his second coming. We're going to look at his eternal kingdom. We're going to just really immerse ourselves in Jesus. When we get done with that, we're going to be talking for a long time after that about why Jesus did that, and that is to form a bride. And we're going to spend a bunch of weeks after we get done talking about Jesus, talking about the bride of Jesus, the church, and God's plan for the ages. And let me tell you one thing. God's plan for the ages is one thing: to teach his bride how to be a part of the royal family. There is not an angel in heaven that is related directly to God. Michael, who is so powerful that he could flick his tiniest fingernail and blow me out of existence, Michael is not related to God. He is only a creation. But the least blood-bought child of God is physically related to God. He physically shares the genes of God. And Jesus was setting us a pattern because he wanted us to follow it. Let me ask you, what kind of training are you in today? Will you turn with me as we close, and we're going to be done with this. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. First Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24. Jesus spent 30 years in training 30 years. God in the flesh spent 30 years. He says to us, do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. Did Jesus go into strict training for 30 years? How many years have you spent in strict training? How many years have you spent in strict training? We often say, why isn't God working in my life? Why am I not going further? Why am I not accomplishing more? Why am I not? Why am I not? Why am I not? Jesus says it doesn't come easy. He didn't start when he was 6 years old. You ever seen these little kiddie? They were popular 30, 40 years ago when I first got saved. It was kind of the end. The kid evangelist, you know, the little kid up there 6 years old. It may be a phenomenon, but it's not God's way. God gave us the pattern. Jesus spent 30 years training for a ministry that lasted less than three. Are you prepared today? If God were to come down to America today and say, I'm not done with America, I want to turn America around, could he tap you on the shoulder and say, you're ready? Or would he have to say, like he did in Ezekiel's day, I sought for a person among them. Nobody was ready. Thank God Jesus was ready. He learned patience. He formed godly habits. He learned the Word of God. He learned to be under authority, and he learned to pray. And so he could change the world with less than 3 years of ministry. Now Jesus said, everything I do, what? You can do also. How come we're not? Could it be that we're not applying ourselves to the kind of training that Jesus did? Could it be that we're not counting ourselves under authority? We're not learning to pray. We're not forming godly habits. We're not learning the Word of God. And we're just not patient. God gave us such a great pattern in the life of Jesus. That's why Jesus could say to them, come and follow me. Let me ask you, are you willing to follow him today? Are you willing to go into training so that God can use you? Let's bow together. Lord, what a marvelous thing we see even in the silence of Jesus. Oh, how tremendous it is that even in the silence of Jesus, we see such glorious things. Though he was God, he didn't say, I don't need that. He learned patience. He was under authority. That blows my mind that he who was the authority of the universe obeyed his parents. He went to the synagogue and listened to the sermons. He didn't say, you people don't know what you're talking about. Let me tell you what it is. For 30 years, he formed those godly habits. Oh God, help us to see that your plan is worth a long-term commitment, the same kind of commitment that Jesus gave to it, because your plan is to bring many sons to glory. Oh God, may we see the worth of your great kingdom and sell everything like that pearl merchant to claim it. In Jesus' name, amen.